Shut your eyes. Stop your ears. Seeing won't help you. Hearing won't save you. What is coming for you will come for you. The journey you are on is unstoppable. Whether or not you accept it, your due will be meted out to you at the unseen hour. We don't all get what we deserve, at least in not any way we can understand or that can be thought of as justice. Whether by making a claim awaiting the inevitable or by taking chances as they come, we each meet the fate that is allotted to us. Much as one subtypical is about to do, his patchwork reanimated body encased in patched Harris tweed, as he records his innermost thoughts on his trusty tape recorder.
If you really want to hear about it, the first thing you'll probably want to know is what my lousy childhood was like and all that David Copperfield kind of crap. Or perhaps what my lousy opinions are and all that Holden Caulfield kind of crap. Well, sorry to disappoint you. But I'm not here for convenient recaps or for proper diction. I'm better than both of those. I'm above them. Better than those outmoded literary forms. Audio only! I will tell you that I am on the run, hunted by the law, and something worse, a doppelganger, an arch enemy, a nemesis, a fury that brings a bloody vengeance for my terrible transgressions. So I'm laying low here in Great Carcos's most unsavory district of Rilchium, and this grimy dive bar.
Some say he can leap tall buildings in a single bound. Little mortal man,
No, indeed, Colonel. His fingers are like steel knives. He breathes blue fire.
I've heard about the peculiar bodysuit a person is said to wear.
Indeed, I have heard of that thing, Colonel. And beneath that one-piece bodysuit, they say, is made of fragments of their sewed-together pieces of 100 different corpses.
My golly!
Excuse me. There, you charmingly over-characterized locals. Did I hear you discussing the demonic figure that has been terrorizing the streets of this city?
Here we are. We have come closer, sir.
Yeah, that's right, my dear. We know all the juicy gossip about Albert Springshin.
Good, good. Now, I suppose the police are after this criminal.
They're after him, yeah. But they won't touch him.
That's right. They say he's stronger, faster, cleverer than any creature living. Most particularly that he is superior to the stupid coward that they say is his subtypical brother.
Yes, Rufus Dreyfus. He's a dead man walking in the middle of war.
Lies! Phony lies! Fake news! For I am that very same Rufus Strideforth, and I am strong and brave and clever and better than both you and that lousy Albert Springshin's crick. I'm like a fine single malt whiskey, and the rest of you are watered-down bathtub gin.
You're right, Colonel. It is him. We've got him. The bounty will make us rich.
I put the shackles on him when he wasn't looking.
I'm sorry, did what? They've chained me up! I knew you were devious phonies! I'll murder you horribly once I get out of these chains!
Just you try, my dear. We've taken no chances. You're worth a pretty penny to a couple of our low lives, such as ourselves.
Beat him with a bat, okay? Stop struggling right with them!
Yes, I'll beat him with this bat then, Colonel.
What? Saved from a cuddly living by a mysterious gunwoman in a white coat and a long hat.
Yes, indeed! Dashing robotic gunslinger and proud of it! Agent Harriet Powerstar at your service. Operative of a private agency what has been keeping an eye on you, Strideforth, and making sure that you, a valuable asset, don't come to no harm. How about that?
Yeah, I would have been fine, thank you very much. I could have handled them.
Oh, yes, we have no doubt, Mr. Strideforth. Dr. Perch does build very fine creatures. The most powerful subtypicals we've seen.
This is my partner, Scruffleguts.
I'm so pleased to meet you finally.
But you are both subtypicals, like me.
That's right. I'm a robot from a Wild West themed tourist attraction. And Scruffleguts is an ordinary teddy bear that was thrown away like a piece of rubbish, then brought to life with cosmic dust by a man from outer space.
I see. Pretty standard subtypicals, then. Yeah,
quite so. Now, we must hurry. We've heard the terror of Rilchium, Albert Springshins, is on his way here.
Ah! It's Greek! He's coming here to kill me! Get me out of here!
Hold still! Let's get those shackles off. This monologue should cut through them in no time.
Fiona was less than excited when she received the blanket. She had reached the odd in-between age of childhood, no longer wanting to play with wrapping paper, but not old enough to be able to smile politely and say how useful the gift would be. I was uncertain quite why I had been invited to the birthday party of a four-year-old. I had very little to offer. Fiona's mum, Kate, and I had grown up together. She liked books. I liked books. I liked her. She liked Ricky, the kid who, for the princely sum of 20 pence, once drank cat urine. 15 years down the line, and the fallout of that marriage meant Kate had moved back to the town we'd grown up in, along with two small children. She had asked me to the party as we sat in her front room while the kids played in the garden. Why? I asked her. Kate shrugged. You like comic books? The kids like comic books? A small smirk. They're like you. You can play with them. She wants a superhero party. And princess party. It's so a brother can join in too. And princesses can be heroes too. I nodded sagely. Proactive female heroism. Kate had watched as Fiona ran around the garden, her little brother trying his best to keep up. She's been having nightmares recently. She listens to scary books on tape. Tape? Oh, they're still good books. It's just she chooses them and gets scared of the monsters under the bed. So it was that I had presented a blanket, the same colour as blood, to a nonplussed child dressed like Wonder Woman. What do we say? Kate prompted. Tank, Fiona grunted. She'd been looking forward to receiving gift cards to spend on buying a new character for a game on her phone. Instead, I humbly presented a blanket. You don't like your cape? I asked her. It's special.
Magic.
Skeptical four-year-old audience. Despite his plastic mask, I could tell the kid dressed as the Hulk was judging me. I had wanted to do this without an audience. Yeah, like... I blinked and tried to scan my mind. Harry Potter!
Harry Potter's lame!
No, he's not! Perfect comeback.
He's stupid. I hate him.
You don't hate Harry Potter, Kate chided, reaching for the next gift. So I came up with my game changer. Oh, it's just that it can... Stop monsters. Fiona actually lifted a hand up to her mother like a tiny Roman emperor, as if she wished to hear more of what this strange little lady was gonna say. Oh, it's true, I continued. I have asked for advice from a wise man about the perfect gift for a special child. And he said that blanket, when worn as a cloak, would protect the wearer from monsters. I pointed at the stitching. See those roses? They are such beautiful flowers that monsters are too scared to touch anyone wearing the cloak. It can also retain its magic after being washed, Kate slipped in, probably imagining the tantrum avoided when the magical item inevitably needed to have stains removed. Fiona was still sceptical, but she slipped the cape over her shoulders. Slowly, she gave a small twirl.
"It's soft," she mumbled.
"Oh, that will be the protective magic," I said, trying my best to wink at Kate. More gifts were opened, and there was a rigorous game of pass the parcel. One present had been a singing game, and the children gathered around the television to work through censored Rihanna karaoke. Duty done, I sat in my chair and ate some cake. A small hand tapped my knee. I glanced down. Freddie, Fiona's younger brother, in face paint and pyjamas. The tiny Spider-Man was covered in jelly.
Play with me.
Now this, I could handle. I say,
if it isn't the friendly neighbourhood Spider-Man.
He smiled, showing me his missing teeth. Shyly, he extended his wrist while making a gentle thwip sound. Yeah. The unmistakable noise of web shooters. Ugh. It seemed I was being classed as a cool grown-up who was willing to shout and run around. Before too long, we had gained two Captain America's alternate universes were brought in so as to avoid fighting, a female Batman and Belle from Beauty and the Beast. I was promoted to Mission Control, and it was time to decide who would be our foe. It came to the vote, and the team braced themselves for battling a team-up of Trump and Magneto. Yeah. Block the flow of their creativity, but I found such a partnership unlikely. Captain America 1 was adamant.
Magneto is really, really evil and hates all humans, and I want to punch him in the face and make him cry. He's a beast,
Belle snarled. I felt I needed to stand up for him a little. You can't hate him completely. He has had a hard life.
Why?
Female Bats asked. Well, this stopped me short. And I chose my words carefully. Some bad men killed his family. Sometimes circumstances make people do bad things. A long pause. Spidey decided it.
I want more cake.
So we went to get cake, and I avoided explaining the Holocaust to a group of small children. It was a month later. I suppose the man had thought the house was empty. The back door was unlocked, so he walked in, grabbed an iPad, a phone, various small objects. Kate had caught him heading for the door and screamed that she was calling the police. He threatened her, called her names, loud enough to wake the children. Loud enough that a four-year-old who was wearing a cape that stopped monsters would come to the rescue. She ran past her mother, wrapped in her blanket, as her brother watched through the banister. As she ran fearlessly at the monster that had invaded her home, she cried her heroic little cry. "Don't worry, Mummy. It's magic." The bullet killed her instantly. The blood of the innocent child mixed nicely with the blood red of the blanket. The burglar wasn't even 20, shouldn't have had a gun. Wanted to be a big man. Cried on the stand, tried to state how sorry he was and how he was haunted by his actions. Sometimes circumstances make people do bad things. Kate didn't blame me. She said as much at the funeral, her eyes dead. She didn't look at me, and she moved Freddie away from me when he tried to hug me. They moved shortly afterwards. On the rare times I return to the town, I leave some white and red roses on the grave of a small child who had believed my white lie that her magic blanket could protect her from monsters.
Help, I will be on my way.
Oh, you're under no obligation at all.
No, where are you as if I am under an obligation to you.
No, 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 not at all. We're
still running?
We're in danger. You were clearly physically superior to those two ruffians. Of course, we imagined that you might be, you know, morally superior as well. The sort of fellow who pays his debts and so...
Yes. Since I am the epitome of all that's best in humanity, I will certainly repay my debts.
Go! Then we can protect you from him.
Yeah! Ah! It's great! He's right behind us, leaping through the night, breathing blue fire! Save me!
Quickly, in here. He won't follow us into the headquarters.
Oh, thank God.
Phew. That's the end of that. Sorry, I'm trying to... Crick.
Oh.
It's a different character. I shouldn't have put two of the same character. Never mind.
Yes, heaven forbid. Well, she sounds similar to another character. Oh.
Anyway, this is our headquarters, and now we can meet our boss, Director Raines.
Spacious, these old...
Yeah. Welcome,
Castle
Rufus.
Oh.
Hi. Yes, I'm here. Hello. So glad you could join us. I think you will fit in very well here at the...
Let me guess. This is a big, faceless corporation with a long name and a hilarious acronym.
Well, the acronym is...
Yeah, here it comes.
IUP.
Wait, what?
IUP, the Institute of Unethical Practices, and we'd like you, Strideforth, to help us with a particular enterprise, the operation for obtaining and enlisting entities of odd or outre origins. Sorry, I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry. Never mind. Come on. I want to get on with repaying this favor you've apparently done for me.
Excellent. Bloomsbury, give him the details.
Okay, listen up, Stratforth. The Institute of Unethical Practices just wants to be to help subtypicals like you, but some of them don't know what's good for them, so we need you to go and strong-arm some holdouts.
Right. So the Institute of Unethical Practices is trying to recruit me into doing despicable extortion based on a moral obligation.
Oh, you're welcome to go out there and face whatever Albert Springshins has in store for you.
No. I didn't say I was refusing.
Just bring them in safely. Agents Parstar and Scrufflegratz will go with you.
Ah! Ha ha! I don't need backup! Look at me! I said, look at me! Not one of these subtypicals that I've seen compares to me. I am so physically perfect, so expansive in my imagination, capable of such depths of sublime emotion none of you know!
Very well, I will show you the place myself and witness your magnificence.
You know what? I am magnificent. Quite right. This is what I've been missing in my life. A supportive parental figure like you, Director Raines. Off we go!
Tell me too. Does it bother you that you are genetically identical to my original beloved companion, the first Tabitha, and yet you have none of her memories?
Gee, I never thought about that. But now that you mention it, I...
No time for that! Someone's at the door! Be a good girl and answer it, Tabby, too!
Sure. Yeah.
Who is it?
All right, you freaks! Just took a moment to assess the situation before I spoke. All right, you freaks! I don't know what kind of superpowers you think you have, but you're no match for me.
Oh, no, Mrs. Fleck Dargyle. It's a Frankenstein.
A Frankenstein's monster, actually, if you know anything at all. And that is the most elevated and sublime of all subtypicals. I am an orchestral symphony, where the rest of you are some kind of indie alt folk garage band jingle. No offense to our... guests.
My goodness, Tabby, too, but he's very impressive.
I hope he doesn't hurt us.
Yes, and you better comply with the Institute of Unethical Practices. I'm bringing you in. Which of you is the subtypical?
Oh, that's me. I'm a genetic copy of the original Tabitha Pond. I was grown in a jar.
Oh, a clone cool.
But we will never comply with the IUP. What do they even have planned for us?
You know, I haven't even actually asked.
Oh, terrible evil things. It's bad. So bad you can't even imagine. I don't even think about it.
Right. All right. I'm not gonna think about it.
Yeah, no, don't think about it. Stop it. No, no. Thinking. I mean, really, it's really bad.
No.
Yeah. No, it's not your concern, Rufus. You just have to convince them.
Right.
Go ahead and convince them.
Ah, that I can do. Yes, it's a lovely home you have here, Miss Flactar Guile. Some very impressive and intricate and expensive, delicate scientific equipment.
Why, thank you. It's my pride and joy.
Yes, it would be an awful shame if some preternaturally strong person were to topple it all over, causing irreparable damage. Oh, no! Down it goes! And this thing also!
Oh, no!
Other things!
He smashed it into 1,000 shattered fragments of soulful, sweet, darling David Gunawodana!
Well, come on then, why waste time? Set your face like a flint, set your sights. You will fall and you will rise. So be strong, before long you will rise. Close your eyes, dear, there is nothing here to see. Hear her voice, a vista for many. Where she walks, dear, there the stones will cut your feet. But you want to know her song, do not hesitate. Go on, as you follow, you hear her singing. Well, come on then, why waste time? Set your face like a flint, set your sights. You will fall and you will rise. So be strong, before long you will fly. Why look back, dear? There is nothing there to see. Just an echo or two for the journey. Still she walks, dear, on the violence of the sea. If you want to know her song, do not hesitate. Go on, as you follow, you hear her singing. Well, come on then, why waste time? Set your face like a flint, set your sights. You will fall and you will rise. So be strong, before long you will fly. Lift your eyes, dear, there are new worlds to be seen, and a legion beyond for the knowing. see she walks there, stepping softly off the steep. And you want to know her song, do not hesitate, go on. As you follow, you hear her singing. Welcome on then, why waste time? Set your face like a flint, set your sights. You will fall and you will rise. So be strong, before long you will fly. Welcome on then, why waste time? Set your face like a flint, set your sights. You will fall and you will rise. So be strong, before long you will fly.
For the might of the IUP and its brutal thugs.
But we can't betray our beliefs and give those meanies what they want.
No, Tabby Too, that we must never do. And so we must be resolved to lose everything we have and suffer terrible mistreatment.
These poor, stoic, oppressed people. Such bravery, such pathos. With my downright epic sense of compassion, it's just too much to bear. How have I let myself be manipulated into such dastardly behavior? This is wrong!
Keep focused on the job, Rufus. Remember, we're keeping you safe from that specter that is pursuing you.
Yes, yes, Greek. 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 That terror that stalks me, relentless, hungry for vengeance, thirsty for my blood.
Could you face him, Rufus? Could you stand up to your nemesis, knowing that you're no better than those lowlives in the bar, receiving aid and not repaying the debt? Nothing but an opportunistic promise breaker. Could you be sure of yourself knowing that?
I don't know! I don't know! I don't know what I should do!
Well, you must follow your heart, Rufus. We accept our fates, but deep down, you know what is right.
I can't hurt these poor, helpless people!
Can't you, though? Will you be diverted by the emotional manipulation of these pathetic creatures? Perhaps you're not as strong as I hoped.
Oh, I'm strong. I'm very strong. Strong in all senses, yes.
And yet you concern yourself with the inconsequential tribulations of these inferior creatures. Surely you're better than that.
You know what? Yes. Yes, you're quite right. I am rather above these petty moral judgments.
Of course you are. A paragon such as yourself can't be held to the same standards as ordinary people.
Certainly not. I am the embodiment of human perfection, a Leopold, a Loeb, and as such, I do what I want. I'm not going to tone down my glorious existence to pander to fragile bystanders who don't have the sense to get out of my way. It's natural selection.
You really can tell that the only book he's read is Ayn Rand.
I could read other things if I wanted. I don't need to read other things.
Quite right. Mrs. Fleck d'Argyle and her clone are insignificant specks by comparison. I stand by it. Easily turn to your will.
I'm not interested in them anymore, or in you. Your mean little sordid machinations are an offence to me. You're all dreadful people. Untermensch. If everyone were more like me, the world wouldn't have the problems that it has!
Really? Do you think so?
Yes! I would have a whole different set of problems!
So what are you gonna do?
Well, that's simple. For you see, I must face my epic destiny. I will turn the tables, Torakain that monster Grick. I will confront him and defeat him in some sort of dramatic showdown on a rooftop, maybe.
Good for you, I guess. But that rather leaves our plans in limbo.
Yes, perhaps we could have some sort of closure for this scenario here.
So you probably think this is all about to come to a dramatic conclusion with lots of screaming and destruction and well-enunciated lines. You'll probably expect that from this point on, I just started cracking heads and the whole situation descended into a glorious bloodbath, packed with gruesome side effects. Ha! Says I. Fat chance. Maybe you forgot that it is an unreliable first-person narration. I didn't owe any of them anything, nor, in fact, do I owe any of you plebs anything either. So, I just walked away. And what ready were they going to do to stop me? Nothing. And neither are you.
And so, having almost learned something, Strideforth departs without the usual chaos or destruction. In a surprise twist, life goes on. And you too, dear listeners, must go on until something dreadful really does happen at the next Unseen Hour. We hope that you survived The Unseen Hour, episode 34, The Dull Sessions, number 34EE02. The Creature in the Rye. Yes.
Come on, guys, give that
The Unseen Hour is recorded live and monthly, usually on the first Wednesday of every month, at the Rosemary Branch Theatre, courtesy of Unattended Items. This episode was performed innocently by Bryce Stratford, Joey Timmons, and James Carney, and featured a monologue written by Thomas Jansis and performed by Alice Osmanski. The musical guest was David Gunawardana. Theme music by The Unrecorded. The Unseen Hour is an Unseen Things production, created, written, and produced by James Carney. This episode was recorded by Ella Watts and Odin Ornhill-Marson, and the podcast is produced... No adjective or anything. By Andy Goddard. We've been cutting corners here, evidently. No, I just missed it out. No! It's there. I just stopped early. The podcast is produced by Andy Goddard because it is his lot in life. Glad I got that one in. We all look forward to seeing you here again at the Unseen Hour.